The shearers approached him cautiously as he banged on the sun-bleached planks, shouting, "I know you're in there!"
That's what we call wood, said Daggy. Wood, he added, for the hard of thinking. Made into a wall.
Did you see a kangaroo walk into this wall? Rincewind demanded.
Not us, boss.
It was a sheep at the time, Rincewind added. I mean, it's normally a kangaroo, but I'll swear it turned into that sheep.
The shearers shuffled uneasily. You're not going to say anything about woolly jumpers, are you? Said one, almost timorously.
What? What's knitwear got to do with it?
That's a mercy anyway, the small shearer mumbled.
You know, it's been doing that all the time, said Rincewind. I thought there was something wrong with that beer poster.
Something wrong with a beer too?
I'm not putting up with any more kangaroo nonsense. I'm off home, said Rincewind. Where's that horse?
It was standing where they left it. He waved a finger at it.
And no talking, he said as he swung his leg over it. This simply resulted in him standing over the horse.
He was sure that somewhere under the overhanging mane, something sniggered.
You gotta kind of sag down, said Daggy, and then you kind of lifts your legs kind of up.
Rincewind did so. It was like sitting on an armchair.
You sure this is a horse?
Won it in a game of two up from a bloke from Goolala, said Daggy. Gotta be tough coming from the mountains. They breeds them special to be sure-footed. He said it wouldn't fall off anything.
Rincewind nodded. His type of horse, all right. The quiet, dependable type. Which way's Bugger up? The men pointed. Right. Thank you. Giddy up. What's this horse called?
Daggy seemed to think for a moment and then said, Snowy.
Why Snowy? That's an odd name for a horse.
I used to have a dog called Snowy.
Oh, right. That makes sense. Sense for here, anyway, I suppose. Well, good day, then.
The shearers watched him go, which, at Snowy's pace, took some time.
Had to get rid of him, said Daggy. He could put us on the dole in a day.
One of the men said, Why didn't you tell him about the drop bears over that way?
He's a wizard, ain't he? He'll find out.
Yeah, but only when they bloody drop on his head.
Quickest way, said Daggy.
Daggy?
Yep.
How long did you say you'd had that horse?
Ages. Won it off a bloke.
Right?
Right.
Right.
What?
Only, did you always have it ages half an hour ago?
Daggy's wide brow furrowed a little. He took off his hat and wiped his head with his arm. He looked at the disappearing horse and then at the sheds and then at the other men. Several times he started to speak, shut his mouth before he could get the first word out, and glared around him again.
You all know I've had it for bloody ages, right?
He demanded.
Yes, right. Ages. Won it off a bloke.
Right, yeah, right.
You must have done.
Mrs. Whitlow sat on a rock combing her hair. A bush had sprouted several twigs with rows of blunt, closely set thorns just when she needed them. Large, pink, and very clean, she relaxed by the water like an amplified siren. Birds sang in the trees, sparkling beetles hummed to and fro across the water. If the senior wrangler had been present, someone could have scraped him up and carried him away in a bucket. Mrs. Whitlow did not feel in any danger. The wizards were around, after all. She was mildly worried that the maids would be getting lazy since she wasn't there, but she could look forward to making their lives a living hell when she got back. The possibility of not getting back never entered her head. A lot of things never entered Mrs. Whitlow's head. She'd decided a long time ago that the world was a lot nicer that way. She had a very straightforward view of foreign parts, or at least those more distant than her sister's house in Quirm, where she spent a week's holiday every year. They were inhabited by people who were more to be pitied than blamed, because really, they were like children. That is to say, she secretly considered them to be vicious, selfish, and untrustworthy. And they acted like savages. Again, when people like Mrs. Whitlow use this term, they are not for some inexplicable reason trying to suggest that the subjects have a rich oral tradition, a complex system of tribal rights, and a deep respect for the spirits of their ancestors. They are implying the kind of behaviour more generally associated, oddly enough, with people wearing a full suit of clothes, often with the same insignia. On the other hand, the scenery was nice, and the weather was warm, and nothing smelled very bad. She was definitely feeling the benefit, as she'd put it. Not to put too fine a point on it, Mrs. Whitlow had left her corsets off. The thing that the senior wrangler insisted on calling the melon boat was, even the dean admitted, very impressive. There was a big space below deck, dark and veined and lined with curved black boards, very like giant sunflower seeds.